Everybody?
Hello.
All right. We're in the Torah portion of Noah, and there's a lot to learn from Noah. I could tell you about Noah going back to chapter 6, just thinking about Yah is going to wipe out man. He's going to wipe out all mankind. He's going to wipe out man from the face of the earth. And I just think about how he said, but he found Noah. He says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of Yehovah. He said he was a righteous tzaddik. He walked right before him, and he was perfect before him. And you just got to think about it. If he's going to wipe out all of man, that means it's pretty dark on the earth at this time. There's nobody's shoulder to look upon. No pastors, no teachers. He's it. Yah says he looked. And he searched for somebody, and here's Noah. And you know, if you think about Noah, if there's no Noah, this man, we don't exist. None of us exist. Abraham doesn't exist. Yitzhak doesn't exist. Nobody exists. He's going to wipe out man. And then when you read chapter 7, it makes you weep, because I know it had the effect, yeah, that he's got to create everything that he made. You're just looking at it. I'm just thinking about it, because we have hearts. I know every one of y'all have that soft heart when it comes to animals. I got a very soft heart when it comes to animals. I love my little companions. And all that, he's got to wipe it all out. I know that didn't feel too good. He's going to wipe all this out. But he found Noah, a righteous one, a tzaddik, one who's righteous, who walked with him. And we talked about how he learned that. He learned that from Adam. He learned that from his generations past, all the way up today. He learned how to walk. He learned how to walk and be perfect. And today we have Yeshua. Where did Yeshua get this from? We think about it. He had to go back to the beginning. From the beginning of old. We talked about that. Back in the beginning from old. What is that? So that's how Yeshua got to learn how to be perfect and how to walk before Yah. Because he learned it off of Noah. He learned it off of Abraham. He learned it off of the story of Job. Look at Job. The story of Job. Eob. He found one who was, he said, do you consider my servant Job? He's perfect. He's straight. And even, he questioned Hasatan, even you. He said, you seek me to destroy him for nothing. He didn't do anything. But yet if you want, go ahead and do whatever you want to him, but you can't kill him. Go ahead. And so I emphasize a little bit, I learned a good bit about this word perfect. We talked about it this past week, but I had to go on a trip this past week. I have a cousin, my cousin Kenny Castile. He's in the Marines. And he's been in the Marines for over 20, I think it's 24 years, and he's going to retire. And he asked me to be there. He's going to have a seat specially for me and my family. He wants me to see him retire. And you know, in my mind, you know, all these years, he's been this Marine, and he's told me these stories about artillery. He's told me the stories. I remember the time that he was in Iraq. He couldn't communicate with us, but he communicated back and forth with letters with my Aunt Mary and all through those years and those times. And we prayed. There was a lot of stuff going on, a lot of soldiers that were dying. And you never know when you would get the call. It might be him. But Yah protected him through all that time. And then he came back over here, he perfected himself in every area and got himself all the way up to sergeant major. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, he's telling me these stories, but you're not there to actually see it. He's the individual telling me. And so I had to work this week, the day after, and it's a 7-hour trip up there. And I just kept praying about it and praying about it. I just kept feeling the draw by the set apart spirit to go. And I was like, you know, it's just his retirement, you know, but I know it would mean a lot to him, and he doesn't have too many that he looks up to. And he always tells me he looks up to me and certain individuals, and he would really like me to be there. It would mean a lot to him. So I said, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice that time because I feel that draw. And keeping in mind about perfection, we learned about perfection. A lot of people say, oh, not everybody's perfect. A lot of people say, oh, nobody's perfect. But if you read in the Hebrew and understand that the perfection is, no, none of us is perfect, because Romans says that we're not perfect. We're all sinners and we all come short. We're all destined to die. If it wasn't for Yeshua, We would be destroyed. It's the end of us because we all have sin in us. But there's a point where you can please Yah and you can better yourself in whatever area it is to perfection. And when I learned about Kenny, it was so incredible to understand what perfection is. It painted a beautiful picture. When I got there, I didn't know what I was getting into. I sat down and I watched all the Marines, how they all walk in that form in step. I mean, not out of step, in sync, perfect. I mean, I've done it over and over and over. And then Kenny would get up there and he would call certain individuals. He loves people. He said, I love people and I would like to call Sergeant so-and-so or whoever it was because he's the teacher that he learned off of. And he would tell the story of how he learned so much that how it bettered his life because of what he did. And so that guy got up there and he said, I remember the first time Kenny had to go on artillery. They had no idea what they was doing. They was out there, they was carrying all kind of heavy missiles and weapons and stuff, running into each other, making a mess. And he applauded him and said, look, y'all didn't know nothing what y'all was doing. Y'all looked like a mess. It was funny. He said, but later on, I explained to y'all what to do. And he said, what Kenny did, he didn't do it well, but he perfected artillery. He perfected it so much, that's what got him to the next level. And when he got to that next level, then he was able to be a leader. You can't be a leader until you start running. He had to learn how to run. He told me how he had to learn how to run 4 miles every day. And it didn't start off 4 miles. It started a little bit each day, a little bit each day, until he got it so well that some of the people said about him that on days that he didn't have to run, he was still running 4 miles. It was like an eye-opener to so many. If anybody was running, Kenny, and still today, at Kenny's age, is still running 4 miles without a blink. And so I'm listening and I'm learning, and the expression that he's expressing, telling people about what they did for him, but he's not telling himself of what he's did in his accomplishments. The people are telling you his character. Everybody's telling you his character, his accomplishments. And then when he got to Iraq, he did it so well with leadership. He kept his men in order. And then later on, he becomes a great, great leader to put platoons together. And he said, if anybody could do it, Kenny could do it. He said, some of those guys would pass by Kenny and they could see it in his eyes. He's like, oh, what he's going to have me doing next? I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to do that. It was constantly something. I'll find you something to do to perfect yourself. And it was incredible to see what perfection was in him. I could see it. He's living it. He's living perfection. Right before everybody's eyes, he's living perfection. And if you put that in a spiritual perspective, like unto Yah, in each area, you perfect. And it talks about it in here. Let me go there real quick. Because I sent this to him. I told him, I said, Kenny, you didn't applaud yourself, but others told of your great character and all your perfections. That's what God does towards those who are obedient towards him. He speaks volumes in his word of those whose lives were perfected. And he does. When we read in this chapter 6, going through the slides, he talks about those who are perfect towards him. It's all over in the scriptures. Perfect, perfect, perfect. And he even tells you, how can one be perfect? Your life as a Marine clearly explains perfection. If people would get it in a spiritual towards God, the same way you have given all. He gave all his time. You know, he sacrificed his time with his family. He was gone for like months and months. And his family stuck in with him. They loved him and still there with him today. Sacrificing so much time. There's so much to talk about. I told him, check this out. I just got a clear understanding of perfection through your life and the Hebrew meaning in Scripture. And I sent him these, and y'all read through these slides, hopefully. He was perfect in his generations. The Hebrew word that was translated as perfect came from, we talked about, Tamayim. Tamayim. The word calls for us to serve Yah with a perfect heart. And that was the question. But you may ask, is it possible to serve Yehovah with a perfect heart? Are we not all sinners and unable to be perfect? In Genesis 17:1, and it came to be when Abraham was, and it goes on to talk about all those who was perfect. I don't have time to get into them all, but we all should have read them already and gone through them. Pastor talked about one being perfect and flawless. And so I sent him those slides. And then I went and looked at slide 782 back in Bereshit in the first Torah portion that we went through. And I was thinking about Romans 3:23. We all have sinned and come short of His kavod, His esteem. And in this slide, 782, it says, as we accept Yeshua Messiah as Master and Savior and acknowledge His work on the stake, we are forgiven. And by the power of His resurrection, we receive new life and enter His comfort and rest. Amen. His work is done. Man who was appointed for destruction now can receive life through our risen Savior. And so I thought about that. There was a day that He called me and gave me an opportunity to accept Christ and have light come into my life and have a brand new start, because I was destined for destruction. Hebrews 9:24-28. Because think about this. If it wasn't for Noah, if it wasn't for Abraham, if it wasn't for all of those, if it wasn't for Yeshua, because Yah searched and looked for one who's a righteous Zadik, who was walking with Him and who was perfect. In Hebrews 9:24-28, for Messiah has not entered into a set-apart place made by hand, figures of the true, but into the heaven itself now to appear in the presence of Elohim on our behalf. Not that He should offer Himself often as the high priest enters into the set-apart place year by year with blood, not His own. For if so, He would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the offering of Himself. And as it awaits men to die once, and after this, the judgment, so also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time apart from sin to those waiting for Him unto deliverance. And so in Genesis, starting with verse 1, it says, and Yehovah said to Noah, come. And that for come is bo. Come in. We learned that through the Hebrew word bo. Come. Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Verse 1. Come in because I have seen. Here in this verse, we see a powerful illustration of the sure and promised reward of walking in and guarding to do all the commands of Elohim. As we walk in righteousness, Noah, having now built the ark and done all according to the clear instructions, was now called to enter in. What we must take note of is that Noah did not presume to have any right to enter in, but it was only at the call of Elohim that he was able to enter in, at Yehovah's call. Noah didn't say, look what I did, look how I did this, or how I did that, but Yehovah came to him and said, look what you've done, look at the call of Elohim. I want to go to, I think it's Matthew 22. I think it's 1 through 14. Yeah, that's it. And Yeshua responded and spoke to them again by parables and said, the reign of the heavens is like a man, a sovereign, who made a wedding feast for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited. You see that word right there? It's invited. He invites. Invited to the wedding feast. But they would not come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, say to those who are invited. Keep that in mind. Invited. See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are slaughtered and all is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they disregarded it and went their way. This one to his field and that one to his trade. And the rest, having seized his servants, insulted and killed them. But when the sovereign heard, he was wroth, and he sent out his soldiers and destroyed. He destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Doesn't that ring a bell? And then he said to his servants, the wedding feast indeed is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the street corners, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding feast. And those servants went out into the street corners and gathered all whom they found, both wicked and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. And when the sovereign came in to view the guests, he saw there a man who had put on a wedding garment, who had not put on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the sovereign said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and throw him into outer darkness. Throw him in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many are called, but few are chosen. Can you imagine Noah? He's in a very, very dark place, and he's got to take his stand and work all the way to this point. And here comes Jehovah. After he's built the boat, he's put the pitch, and he's done everything following instructions, everything Jehovah has told him to do. Then he comes in, and he says, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen. See, the eyes of Jehovah searches to see for those who be righteous and do what they're supposed to be doing. Because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. This right here is a powerful story to read. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to stop at the point where I need to stop. And you got to pay attention to this. There's a lot in here in this. And there's a lot of meanings. I might not be able to get into them tonight. Each name means something. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa and Baasha, the sovereign of Israel, like Baasha, it means evil. And I'm not going to get into the names. I don't have time. But the sovereign of Israel came up against Yehuda and built Ramah. Ramah is a high place. You can't think about the word as being rhema, like we read in the Greek. This is a Hebrew word called ramah. It's a high place. It's a high place. And you can find all that out when you read in your Esau. You can go through each little piece. It takes a lot of time to sit there and go through each piece and understand what each word means. Each name means something. Very important. To prevent anyone going out or coming in to Asa, sovereign of Yehuda. And Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of Jehovah and of the sovereign's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, sovereign of Aram, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a covenant between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come, break your covenant with Baasha, sovereign of Israel, so that he withdraws from me. So up to this point, he's trusting in Jehovah. Now, all of a sudden, he wants to buy his way to get something. He's supposed to be trusting in Jehovah, but now he's going to buy his way. How many know in this world there's a lot of people that drop Jehovah to go get their way some other kind of way, to try and figure some other kind of way to get what they want or find their way to buy their way out of it? And Ben-Hadad, he says, come break your covenant with Baasha, sovereign of Israel, so that he withdraws from me. And Ben-Hadad listened to the sovereign Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they struck Yon and Dan and Abel, Maim, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. And it came to be when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. And Asa the sovereign brought all Yehuda, and they took away the stones and the timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building. And with them he built Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, see that name right there, Hananiah? Graced. I think it's graced. 2 Chronicles 16:7. Let me just make sure that was correct, so I don't quote wrong. Gracious. I knew it was wrong. It's gracious. It means gracious. So keep that in mind. His name means gracious. Because Pastor was talking about the grace today that we have is a grace that goes from extension of hand to grace. He's really gracing us when he stretches out his arm. Now watch this. It says, and at that time, Hananiah, the seer, came to Asa, sovereign of Yehuda, and said to him, because you have relied on the sovereign of Ram and have not relied on Yehovah, your Elohim, therefore the army of the sovereign of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were the Cushites and the Labim not a mighty army with very many chariots and horsemen? And because you relied on Yehovah, he gave them into your hand? For the eyes of Yehovah diligently search all the earth to show himself to be strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect to him. You have acted foolishly in this, so from now on you shall see battles and wars. And still today, because people don't adhere to his word correctly, add to it and take away, you constantly see the battles and the wars. And they say, Hashem, 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 but you've added to, and you still leave the Asheroth, you still leave the God thing, the almighty God things that's not supposed to be there. You know, they had something I was looking at today. They had in America, I mean, a big host of Jews with their flags in America. And Americans, they're all holding up their flags, and it looked beautiful. I had to put on there, I said, look at the blues. It looks just like the Hashamayim. The Hashamayim is the heavens. The heavens are blue. It's beautiful. But right sitting back in the background is this, in America, this big obelisk. It's a big old obelisk that come from Egypt, Mishraim, all that stuff to worship the other gods. A big old obelisk. That's what they call it, obelisk. A big obelisk. I'm like, that's pretty and that's pretty. But you see that obelisk that sticks out like a sore thumb? Yeah, I don't like that. So we could say Yah all we want and Hashem all we want. That big old blisk, that's not good. He doesn't want that in his presence. He told them to get rid of it. All those things got to be getting rid of. Because we're supposed to put our whole heart and trust in Yehovah. That's what he says right here. So let's keep this in mind right here. We got a seer. His name is Hananiah. And what did I say he is? He's gracious. Right? Is that the word? I said gracious. Gracious. I keep getting graced in my mind for some reason, but it's gracious. He's gracious. This is Yehovah sending a seer who is gracious. It's Yehovah's extension of his arm like this to Asa. He's stretching out this, letting him know, hey, I'm the one who saved you through all these battles and put you through. And now you go and take all the monies from out of my sanctuary, and then you go give it to another, go buy your way. But I'm going to send somebody to give you a warning. So he gives him warning right here. Therefore, the arm of the sovereign of Ram has escaped from your hand, the Cushites, and I read all that part. Verse 9, for the eyes of Yehovah diligently searched throughout all the earth to show himself to be strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect to him. You have acted foolishly in this, so from now on you shall have battles. And Asa was wroth with the seer. Doesn't that sound familiar? When you try and help somebody, they get mad. They get all upset. You're trying to be gracious to them, and they get mad and act like, you're the bad guy. Quit telling me this. You wrong, you wrong, you wrong. And he says, Asa was wroth with the seer, and he put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. And look, the acts of Asa, the first and the last, see, they are written in the book of the sovereigns of Yehuda and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased. If you do your time frame at the beginning, when he started his reign to right here, it's 3 years. You'll see 3 years in there. If you do your calculations, it's 3 years. It's 3 years, and he's already diseased within that time period. Asa became diseased in his feet, and his disease was severe. Yet even in his disease, because his stubbornness, he did not seek Yehovah, but he sought physicians for healing. So Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. He didn't last long. And they buried him in his burial site, which he had made for himself in the city of Dawid. And they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various kinds of ointments, mixed by the perfumer's skill, and it made a very great burning for him. And all Yah was doing is sending out his hand extension and saying, hey, those whose heart is perfect towards me. I went there by just going for that scripture. I found that scripture, but you know, you want to know the rest. So I got curious. I want to know about the rest. So I read the whole chapter. And the whole chapter was a great help for me today. It points out a lot of things in this chapter. In 2 Chronicles 16. Now let's go ahead and read Genesis chapter 7, the whole chapter. And Yehovah said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Now, as we read this chapter, after reading the previous chapter 6, that he's going to wipe out man, reality starts to sink in this chapter. Of all the clean beasts, take with you 7 pairs, a male and his female. And of the beasts that are unclean, 2, a male and his female. And of the birds of the heavens, 7 pairs, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For after 7 more days, I am sending rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and shall wipe from the face of the earth all that stand that I created. And Noah did according to all that Yehovah commanded him. We can learn a lot from Noah. Yeshua did. This is the direction that Yeshua points us. This is the direction Kepha and Peter points us. Back to the beginning of old, right here. Right here in Bereshit. And Noah did according to all that Yehovah commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. The clean beasts and of the beasts that are unclean, and of birds and of all that creep on the earth. 2 by 2, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as Elohim had commanded Noah. And it came to be after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. And the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second new moon, the 17th day of the moon, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of the heavens were opened. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And that same day, Noah and Shem, Ham and Japheth, and the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, went into the ark. And they and every life form after its kind, every beast after its kind, every creeping creature that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird after its kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. And those going in, male and female, of all flesh, went in as Elohim had commanded him. And Jehovah shut him in. And the flood was on the earth 40 days, and the waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. And the waters were mighty and greatly increased on the earth. And the ark moved about on the surface of the waters, and the waters were exceedingly mighty on the earth. And all the high mountains under all the heavens were covered. The waters became mighty, 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died. The creeping creature on the earth, birds and cattle and the beasts and every swarming creature that swarms on the earth and all mankind. All in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. You could say somebody held on to an ark. I'm going to take Jehovah's word for it. And he said it all died. It all died. He didn't stutter when he said it all died. So he wiped off all that stand which were on the face of the ground, both man and beast, creeping creature and bird of the heavens. And they were wiped off from the earth. And only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. And the waters were mighty on the earth, 150 days. If we think about everything he had to do prior to this, getting the pitch on the inside, getting the pitch right on the outside, every detail, because this ark was going to go through some crazy stuff when the windows of heaven opened up. It wasn't just a little light rain. When the heavens, the Shamayim, the rains came down and the windows opened up. Only Yah knows, because I wasn't there. I didn't get to see it. What he says here, it covered the whole earth and everything died. Everything died. And all it is Noah and his family. I bet you at this point he is so glad that he listened to every detail to put into that ark to save him and his family. So that should reflect on us and his word to keep everything. His pitch represents a word, his word, to make sure we got his word inside and out. How we kitavo, how we present ourselves before him. Like Noah did. He didn't come up to Yah and say, hey, look all I did. He was doing his thing, what he's supposed to be doing. And Yah recommended him. Yah said, you did the right thing. You're doing the right thing. And if he wouldn't have been put in that ark and it wouldn't have been shut. Yah shut the door. He closed the door. Here in this verse, starting from the beginning, we see a powerful illustration of the sure and promised reward of walking in and going to do all the commands of Elohim as we walk in righteousness. Thinking about all the naysayers, and you know, it's just Noah. It's not like we got a family of however many here is helping each other out in Faith Temple Ministries here. I'm talking about you got Noah, and these people are calling him names. They're saying all these things, and they wait and wait and wait to the last minute. And just like it says, Yeshua says, wait until the last minute. Didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? If you're doing that in a panic mode, you didn't learn something. It should be the fruits that you bear, the way you present yourself and your character. My cousin Kenny didn't have to go in front of everybody and say, hey, look what I did in the Marines. Look what I did in this. People came and said it for him. They told him his character, what he's like and how he did and how he performed. And how great they exalted him, how he sacrificed all his time and did such a great job. And they really look up to him for everything that he did and how he did. And that's what Yah did with Noah. And that's what Yah is going to do with you and me if we're doing what's right. The guy that wasn't doing right, we just talked about a little while ago, he comes in and he says, hey, where's your wedding garments? If you got the right wedding garments on, if you're doing what he said, what do you have to fear? Why would you have to say, hey, means you must have not been doing something that you knew about. Because it said it was those who knew. It was those who were in the church, those who knew already to do certain things, and they didn't do it. Wait, wait, wait to the last minute. You don't learn anything by waiting and waiting for the last minute. Noah, having now built the ark and done all according to the clear instructions, was now called to enter in. What must take note of is that Noah did not presume to have any right to enter in, but it was at the call of Elohim that he was able to enter in. And the word translated come is bo, to come in, bring in, enter, and cause to come. Bo, I think, is a Torah portion that comes later on down the line, right? Am I right? You got bo. It's the fourth most frequent occurring verb in the Tanakh. 2,570 times, for the most part, with everyday meanings of go, arrive, enter a house, or idiomatically, to die, or for sexual relations. And a synonym for this verb in Hebrew is the root halak, which means to walk, and to live, and a manner of life, to cause to live. Just want to make sure I didn't miss anything, because there was a lot of stuff that I wanted to talk about. And Pastor talked about a bunch of these already. That's why I didn't want to go through any of these, because we talked about a lot of these already. I wanted to go to slide 312. Go to slide 312. Those who hear and guard to do the Torah of Elohim as they walk according to the Master Yeshua Messiah will by their obedience condemn the disobedient. What we can certainly learn from Noah is that while the world may have shunned the clear righteousness of a man who walked with Elohim, he was not intimidated into following the ways of man, but held fast to the pure commands of Elohim and overcame. And that's how we must stand today, in the same way. No matter what comes from it, we got to block out all the noise. It takes some practice to block out the noise. I was looking on Facebook at some things the other day, and I was just reading through some things, and my wife is a great help. She's a great help for me. She listens. I'm not saying I don't listen, but that's what we're partners for. And she said, hey, you know, I know you're reading about that, what one individual said or didn't say. She said, listen, just don't even talk about it. It's a distraction. She said, and I said, you're right, honey. It's a distraction. You're right. So I quit paying attention to those things. And I know it means certain things and it don't mean certain things, but that's not supposed to be my focus. My focus is supposed to be right here, what Noah did. My focus is supposed to be in what Yeshua is telling me to follow. And that's what I need to do. And so I started doing that. You got to learn to block out the noise. Just keep learning to block out the noise and pay attention to do what the set apart spirit's telling you to do. And that's how we keep moving. Today, there are certainly more than 8 on the earth who are living as Noah lived and are even facing the same persecutions he certainly would have. Yet the call here is that we must persevere and remain steadfast in our obedient walk of the faith in Messiah. For our Elohim does look upon us as he sees all that we do, as he beckons us daily to come boldly and into his presence, which we now have access to by the blood of Messiah. And I find myself regularly saying, Father, I got these weak areas. Please help me in this. Help me in these areas. I got these flaws and these weaknesses. And he knows my weaknesses, and he helps me in my weaknesses. Proverbs 18:10, the name of Yehovah is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Zephaniah 2:3, seek Yehovah, all you meek ones of the earth, who have done his righteous ruling, his right ruling. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, If so be that you are hidden in the day of the wrath of Jehovah. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no one lead you astray. The one doing righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And in 1 John 3:10, in this the children of Elohim and the children of the devil are manifest. Everyone not doing righteousness is not of Elohim, neither the one not loving his brother. And so those who are loving their brother is those who are being obedient to the commands of Elohim and show forth those fruits of righteousness. Showing forth those fruits of righteousness. And that's the tough part. When you're out there doing what's righteous and it shows towards those who are doing unrighteousness, it kind of rubs shoulders like it did with Hananiah with Asa. He goes and tries and help him and shares him what Yehovah is telling him, and he gets all mad. You guys all ticked off, you know, real mad about it. And so whenever you're doing the right thing and the other ones aren't doing the right thing, it rubs off on them, and they want to get mad at you for it because you're doing the right thing. But you just, can you imagine Noah, what all he went through? He just held in, hung in there, and he just kept doing what he was supposed to be doing. Just held in there. There was a little incident this week that I learned to be quiet. I've been learning to be quiet, and it helped out a lot. It really amazed the person when it happened, but I got to tell this story. I was down at the boat launch going to pick up my boat because I got a leak again in one of my seals on my trim. I brought it back to Duvik's. And in my going pick it up, I put it on a trailer, and a good friend of mine, Zachary Raggis, just happened to be there, and he said, "Hey, I'll put it on the winch for you, brother." I said, "Oh, okay, go ahead, thank you." So he's putting it on the winch for me, and we get to talking, and I'm picking up my stuff, and I hear somebody hollering something. And I look around the corner, there's this older guy standing in the street. He's like, "Hey, anybody gonna move around here?" And he's hollering. And so I could see we all had the boat launch kind of gathered up. So Zach said, "Let me go hurry up and move my truck." So he goes, moves his vehicle, another person moves their vehicle. So they got two open spots. So I'm sitting there trying to get everything bailed out of my boat. I pull it up on the ramp just a little bit to finish bailing out the water. Boy, I hear somebody hollering again. So I look over there, there's this older guy. He's like, "Man, you're going to sit there all day. What's going on with you?" I'm like, okay, they got an open spot there. They got an open spot there. Apparently, he must want this spot really bad. Well, I better move out the way. So I go back there, and I finish putting a bucket, and I close the hatch. When I turn around, I'm face to face with the guy. He startled me for a second. He's like, "Hey, what are you doing? You going to sit here and clean all your boat and keep doing everything over here while you park by the ramp?" And I was looking at him, and I just smiled at him, and I went ahead, closed one more hatch. I got in my truck, and he just backs up like this. And he just gets in the road like that, and he watches me, and I pull out my truck, and I just wave at him, and I left. You know, somebody's just waiting for you to say something. They just want you to get angry and just say something. But I kept my peace, and it astounded the man. He was astounded. He's like, "This guy didn't say anything." Maybe he was thinking in his mind, "Oh, I better be quiet. He might draw a weapon on me." I didn't say anything. I just quiet and smiled. I mean, why all the baruckas? They got two opens right there, and I'm only going to be a second. And I moved out the way. So I just thought about that. Sometimes you just can't say anything. It doesn't pay to say anything sometimes. And so you learn. You learn. Don't let wood be thrown in the fire. Because it's just going to get bad, and it's going to get worse, and it'll draw the peace away from you. Then, like I told my wife the other day, if then you start rebelling or rejecting and doing what you're not supposed to be doing, you're going to start losing your pitch. Your pitch for your boat. You start losing your pitch for your boat, when the storms of life come, your boat's going to sink. You're going to get water from every side, and you're going to panic and not know what to do because you wasn't obedient to the words of Yehovah. Why do you think Yeshua was sleeping in the boat during the storm and all? Because he had pitch. He knew what he was supposed to be doing. The other ones hadn't learned yet. They was panicking. They didn't have enough pitch. They were sinking already before they even sunk. And so they learned and they grew. And later on we find out through Kepha, we learn out through Shaul, we learn through all these. They got beaten whipped for it. And they stood through the test. They stood. They kept their pitch. All the way to death they kept their pitch. The point I'm trying to stress here is that Noah was a man who did righteousness. That is, to obey and do the commands of Elohim. And so too, in these last days, we can learn that it is only those who are doing righteousness that are actually righteous. Noah was doing it the whole time, preparing a boat, despite all the odds, despite all the naysayers and the naysayers and the naysayers, all the way up to the point to where Yehovah said, hey, you did well, now get on in there, and I shut the door. Now everybody's, let us in, Noah, let us in, screaming and yelling. That are actually righteous and will be covered in the day of the wrath of Elohim. There's a wrath of Elohim that's coming. This is a very narrow path and few find it. Hear, guard, and do. Shema, Shemir, and Asa. Hear, guard, and do, that you may be found in him as one who held fast to his name and guard his commands. In Revelations 14, 12, here is the endurance of the set apart ones. Here are those guarding the commands of Elohim and the belief of Yeshua. What is Yeshua's belief and his standards? Everything left of Matthew. There's a scripture I wanted to read. Let me see where it's at. In 1 John 2, 4 through 7, the one who says, I know him, and does not guard his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever guards his word, truly the love of Elohim has been perfected. Is the word perfected again in him. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he stays in him ought himself also walk. Got the word walk in this 1 John. Even as he walked. Beloved, I write no fresh command to you, but an old command, which you have from the beginning. Where are we right now in Noah? We're from the beginning. The old command is the word which you heard from the beginning. That's how Noah made it. That's how the first Ibri, Abraham, made it. He carried it on to his generations, Yitzhak and Yaakov, all the way to Yosef. Then we got the story of Job, how he passed the test. And all these passed the test. So Yeshua had to study this. Yeshua had to train in this. And then when he was tested and tempted, after 40 days and 40 nights, and all parallels with this, about the 40 days and the 40 nights, he was tested and tried in every area to prove that he was the living word of Elohim. The Torah written in the flesh. The Torah, our mother. We have a father, he's Yehovah. We have a mother, that's the Torah. And we have an older brother that obeyed all these commands that we look up to. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he did it well. We have a father, and we have a mother, and we have our older brother that made it for us. And he stretched out his life and his hand for us and died for us so we could have a brand new start. Now we got this light. But we got to keep this light burning by continually doing this every day, in the morning, during the middle of the day, in the evening. We can't lack. Because when we lack, darkness starts to creep in again. Then your light starts going out. Before you know it, you'll be delusioned. You'll be delusioned. You won't see where you're going. You think you know where you're going. You'll think you're all right. And before you know it, you'll be back to calling right wrong and wrong right. Going back to paganism. Going back to the very things that we learned from the beginning not to do. You'll be doing it and calling it right again. And I see it happening again. They're going back there again, calling wrong right and right wrong again. Because they didn't want to hold fast to the commands. That's not commanded. Well, you got to listen to the set apart spirit when he says, be here on this time, be there on this time. It's important. When he told Noah, I know it's pretty painstaking to cut all these trees, shave all the bark, do this to them, do that to them, get the pitch, do this right, make that right ramp. Nobody else is doing it, but you keep doing that, Noah. You keep doing that, Noah, and you're going to survive all the blackness and darkness when it surrounds you, and you're going to look up. You're going to look up, and that's what we got to keep doing. You don't stop. In perfection, I understood it clearly. You got to keep on going, no matter how hard it gets, how tough it looks. If you quit, that's not in Yah's vocabulary. You got to persevere via each level. And then once you perfected and you made it through, then you could be called whatever it was that you got perfected. Until then, you're not a leader and you're not anything to do with that because you didn't finish. You got to finish. That's what Yah says. You have to finish. You don't stop right in the middle and you made a covenant, an agreement about something because it got hard. You say, oh, I can't do this anymore. It's just too hard. You're not going to learn anything. That's the only way you're going to learn. I tell you many a times, trying to follow that radar and that GPS, and it got rocky. And there was a time that I was on somebody else's boat, and it got rocky, and I made a mistake. It crushed me when I made that mistake, because I wasn't used to that. It was always safe. I was on, and I made that mistake. It crushed me. But did I quit? No, you don't quit. You keep learning. You keep trying. You keep persevering. You don't stop. Ones who are going to get eternal life is not the ones who quit. You die. You don't make it. You die. Eternal life is not easy. It's tough. Yeshua went through it. All these others went through it. And he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And our fruit is going to tell on us. Anybody that's just kind of being a couch potato and just showing up and kind of pretending, I'm telling you, the darkness is going to overtake you. We've seen it time and time again. It don't take long. We got to get in this, and we got to learn it. And we got to not just be a hearer only, but a doer of his word. Here is the endurance of the set apart ones. Here are those guarding the commands of Elohim and the belief of Yeshua. I tell you, before I get up here for a couple days, I'm studying, I'm learning. And that's what I do all the time. So I'm just, but when, right before it gets here, I'm like, Father, I've done this 100 times, but I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm not going to say the right things. But I want to rely on you. I don't want to rely on my thoughts. It's not easy. It really isn't. I get up here and it flows. I'm amazed by it every time. But before here, I'm like, I can't remember this. I can't remember that. I got to remember this. I got to remember that. And I was like, Chad, listen, the set apart spirit is telling you something. He said, if you let me, I got this. I got this. It takes time, just like that radar on that GPS. Okay, I'm going to try this again. I'm going to try this again. And you keep listening, and it works. You just got to do what he says. Just follow the steps. There's some things I couldn't remember. I wanted to remember some of the Hebrew words. I'm like, I look up the past. I'm like, man, you remember that Hebrew word, and that Hebrew word. But I'm not Pastor Jesse. I'm Chad, and I'm at this spot right here. I'm not Hillary. I'm not Rob. They all have their part to do. Everybody's in a certain place, and you get to keep working on it and keep doing well. Genesis 7:2 and 7:3, we read those. So let's talk about those a little bit. Well, we already know, you know, I was talking to Linda and Casey. They done went through these already. And it was like, Daddy, you know why they had the seven? Because they had to have enough for the sacrifices. The two was because they was unclean. And so of the clean beast, Noah was commanded to take 7 pairs unclean, only 1 pair, a male and female. Tahor is clean. Here's a word right here I sing all the time. I didn't know what it was for a little while. But I knew it before I read it right here. I knew lo. Lo was no or not. I didn't know it reflected off of unclean, but I knew it was no. Because there's a song I listen to in the Hebraic Hebrewism project. Lo, lo, lo is no or not. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit singing. I'm not going to quit praising. I'm not going to keep speaking. Lo, no, I'm not. I'm not going to stop giving my all. And so there's some Hebrew words you pick up on through songs, and then later on you find out their meaning. You're like, oh, lo means no, not lo. So maybe y'all can learn that tonight. No is lo in Hebrew, lo. Hebrew word lo is the primitive adverb that means not, no, never, neither. Noah certainly already knew what was clean and what was unclean, and we're able to see the list of what is clean and what is unclean in Devarim, chapter 14 and Leviticus 11. Notice here that 7 pairs of clean animals were taken while only 1 pair of the unclean. This was so that Noah would be able to make the proper sacrifices to Yehovah when they would come out of the ark, which are of the clean animals, while still having other pairs to be fruitful and multiply. The unclean pairs only needed 1 pair to survive and be fruitful once they came out of the ark. And then we had 4 through 5. We read all through these already. Now verses 4 through 24. In Noah's 600th year, the flood waters were on the earth, and he and his family went in together, along with all the animals as instructed. And the 17th of the second month, The fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of the heaven were open, and it rained solid for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 is a very significant number in Scripture as being one of testing and transition. On the 27th of the third month, the rain had stopped. Nineveh was given 40 days to repent when Jonah went to speak the word of Yehovah. So in Jonah 3:4, Yeshua Messiah was tried in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was also recognized how after his resurrection, he walked with his disciples for 40 days, teaching them about the kingdom of Elohim. So throughout Scripture, 40 is significant. Throughout Scripture, 7 is significant. All these times and days, 3 days and 3 nights, they're all significant to everything from the beginning all the way to the end. The feast days and the Shabbats, all these feast days, all the appointed times are so important for us to attend and learn and grow in. It's for our lives and for the lives of others. Remember, if you quit, you have possibly destroyed the lives of many others that were following you. Because we've read in there about Korah. Many, 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 many lives, innocent lives. In verse 4, Yehovah made it clear to Noah that after 7 more days, the flood rains would come. And in verse 11, we see this being confirmed, that after 7 days, the flood waters were on the earth. This in itself is a great lesson of how Yehovah clearly declares the end from the beginning, and we are in Him and are found to be dressed in garments of righteousness, shall escape the coming wrath that is to be poured out on the nations. So we need to learn from Noah and see all what he did to stay in that boat and be saved from the wrath that happened then, and learn from Yeshua of the wrath that's going to be coming on all the nations really soon here, and is happening from today going. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. When you look at it, it's... Woo! I could see where if we haven't been learning what we got these 7 years, we'd be oblivious to this. We wouldn't understand what's going on. We've been graced by Yah to know this stuff. I don't know what's so special about us, but I'm like, wow, it's like a movie coming to life before your very eyes. And many, many people who are not heeding the warning have no idea. No idea. And so you see what was happening in the days of Noah? It's going to happen just like it did then. It's going to happen now. But with a fervent heat, it's going to happen. Fervent heat. Anyone who had any perception and discernment at this stage may have been asking what Methuselah's death would bring. Did I skip something? No. Methuselah, as we know from Bereshit 5, was the son of Hanak and grandfather of Noah. He was the oldest man ever to live and lived 969 years. It is believed that he died 7 days prior to the flood, and it's fitting that the words of Yehovah to Noah were that the waters of the flood will be after 7 days. Most definitely fit the clear prophetic meaning of the name of Noah's grandfather. The anticipated death of the oldest man would bring in a time of the end, so to speak, and only those who are righteous would be saved. This is a severe warning for all the inhabitants of the earth today, as we recognize the signs of the time as being likened to the days of Noah. And only those who are truly in Messiah have been clothed with His righteousness and continue to guard to do all He commands shall be delivered. So all that the living Torah, Yeshua is what we're supposed to be being obedient to and reflecting what He is and what we are. And so as long as our light is shining in obedience, it reflects the darkness just like that light switch. I tell myself that a lot. You get in that spot, look, you repent, you get on it right now, the light switch is going to come on. The darkness can't stay. It can't stay. It's impossible. So like Pastor said, there's no such thing as the light and the darkness sitting there fighting against each other. We've been lied to and buffeted about this for so long. If you're being obedient to the commandments and your light is shining and it's shining before men, there's no way darkness can creep in unless you're looking at something you're not supposed to, listening to something you're not supposed to be listening to, or speaking against somebody to ramble off some kind of, like that was going to happen to me earlier this week, something trying to draw me off sides to another man, don't say nothing and you keep your light shining. It's not worth it. Keep your light shining. If not, the darkness will creep on in and you feel when it comes because your heart starts pounding. It feels like your heart's in your throat. You know you're in the negative. You know you're in the wrong. The darkness has done creeped in, and then you start to rely on your own thoughts. Set apart spirit and then went out the door. He's not helping you no more because you done pushed him away. He said, do not grieve the set apart spirit. Don't grieve him. Let him guide you and counsel you. That's the call. The call, the voice of Jehovah. It's the call. The call of Jehovah. And when you have the call of Jehovah and you're obedient, then his light, his kavod, his glory comes in and leads you and guides you and counsels you, and then you reflect Yeshua. Let your light shine before men. Got to keep it shining. What good does it do if you're in the dark with them? They don't have no help. Can't help yourself. How are you going to help somebody else? So, being clothed in his righteousness and continue to guard to do all he commands shall be delivered. That's how you're going to be delivered. As Noah did all that Elohim commanded him and was then called to enter the ark, so too do we recognize that only those who do all that Elohim has commanded us shall be called into his secure presence. While those in the world who are simply continuing in their apostasy and doing as they please in their own eyes shall find themselves outside of the covenants of promise. I was just reminded of last week, I had something happen that was exciting that I didn't expect. I had some customers booked for quite some time, and wear my zitzits and, you know, just presenting myself, just being myself. I'm on the boat and we're all fishing, and these people presented themselves pretty well, but I had no idea. It was all fishing. There's a lot of people that's not godly that present themselves well, and they don't say any bad words and they do certain things. So we're on the boat fishing, and the guy says, hey man, he's like, how often do you fish? All week? I'm like, no, I'm off on Saturdays. Why you take off on Saturdays? So I'm thinking I want to reflect something on him. I do Shabbat. He goes, we do Shabbat. He said, you do feast days? I said, yeah, I do feast days. And so we start, really, really? And when you meet somebody that's doing what you do, it's like, oh, yeah, and you're excited, and you start, you're able to share a lot of stuff rather as than it's somebody else that doesn't know. You can't just give them a fruit basket, more or less to say. So we was able to share. We do this and we do that. Oh, yeah, we're on this part and we're on that part. And then it's a long story, but we had a great time and we got to share. And I couldn't find anything that they do that we don't do. And so there was at one point that I was like, I was feeling like, okay, I said, just to see if I can pull them off sides. I said, you know, I've had many people ask me if I was a seven-day Adventist. Oh, we not no seven-day Adventist. No, we not do that. He said, we follow the Hebraic, the calendar and everything. And he says, let me give you my card of our feast days. And so he gives me a card. And I'm like, that's them. That's the days. I said, but I also, you know, if the sheaf doesn't or does turn green at a certain time, you know, for Aviv, when it comes to Aviv, it could go for April or March. He goes, yeah, yeah, we know about that. And it's got to happen in Israel. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we got to share all these things. And I couldn't find any negative. And then when we was getting on one of the last days, everybody breaks out a beer. I'm like, okay. And the father said, don't you do that. So I waited. And on the way in, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, well, father. He's like, listen, do you remember when Yeshua and the wine? I'm like, okay. And I started thinking about, remember when he never said in his word about drinking Welch's grape juice? They actually drank wine at the Passover. I'm like, oh, so I'm thinking about these things. So when we got to the dock, I said, hey, y'all know Jesus, Yeshua, he didn't drink Welch's grape juice. He goes, you're right, he didn't. He drank wine, that's right. And he says, you know, every now and again, we'll drink us a wine cooler or a beer. And then I started thinking, I'm like, you know, I'd rather be drunk or on a set apart spirit rather than something. But that's for me. Because that's something I went through with a time with alcoholic beverages. That was for me. And that's not my place to judge anybody else. But it flowed, and I didn't say anything negative. It just flowed. It was incredible. So they excited about bringing more people down to come fishing and have some big groups. I told them about our pastor. I told them about they got another condo over there and all. So, man, that was incredible. I never met anybody on my boat. And, you know, sometimes Father just gives you a little nugget sometimes. That was pretty incredible. And Noah did all that Elohim commanded him and was then called to enter in the ark. So too do we recognize that only those who do all that Elohim has commanded us shall be called into the secure presence, while those in the world who are simply continuing in their apostasy and doing as they please in their own eyes shall find themselves outside of the covenants of promise. With this word to Noah of the flood coming after 7 days, we're at once again reminded of the creation week of 7 days and how it pictures clearly for us the full 7,000 years of the plan of deliverance of Elohim. And as Kepha tells us, not to let the one matter of how 1,000 years is as one day to Elohim and vice versa, we're continually made aware of the need to be a hearing, guarding, and doing people of Elohim, especially in these dark and wicked times of apostasy. Now, when it gets to the part where it talks about a day is 1,000, 1,000 is a day, I'm brought immediately back to after the fall that Adam and Eve had, Hawa, that all these after them lived 800, 900. They didn't make the millennium mark. They all died before that millennium mark, and it got shorter and shorter. And then we learned at one time we was bluffed about man shall live 120 years. But that wasn't about man's length of time of years. It was supposed to be that 120 years before the flood would come with the boat and all that had to speak on that. We got that corrected. So it's important that we go back and we read stuff slow, look at it, and make sure in its English translation, it's saying what it's saying. Because we could be being buffeted by some things, by man's traditions, by man's religions, or just a translation error. And so we got to go back and get all the puzzle pieces to fit. And they will fit. And if you ask Yehovah, he's got the answer. I promise you he's got the answer somewheres. We just got to diligently seek for it. 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter 3, 3 through 12. Knowing this first, that mockers shall come. Doesn't that sound familiar about Noah's time? Mockers shall come in the last days with mocking, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all continues as from the beginning of creation. For they choose to have this hidden from them, that the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by the word of Elohim, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. And the present heavens and the earth are treasured up by the same word, being kept for fire, to a day of judgment and destruction. Can you imagine? Look at the people that is on the earth today since Noah. The period of time that's passed, how many people is on the earth? Think about how many people was on the earth from Adam all the way leading up to Noah, and all the darkness that was taking place on the earth, that Yehovah was sorry that he made man, and everything's going to be destroyed, but yet one. And he said, if so it is in the days of Noah, today it shall be that way. How many will he find? It's going to be pretty narrow and tight, and not many. But you got to keep hanging in there. Keep hanging in there. We have assurance through every word, through the Father's word that tells us. And the present heavens and the earth are treasured up by the same word, being kept for fire, to a day of judgment and destruction of wicked men. But beloved ones, let not this one matter be hidden from you, that what Yehovah one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yehovah is not slow in regard to the promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of Jehovah shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with intense heat, and the earth and the works that are in it shall be burned up. Seeing all these are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people are you to be in set apart behavior and reverence, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of Elohim, through which the heavens, the Shamayim, shall be destroyed, being set on fire, and the elements melt with intense heat. In Matthew 24:37-39, and as in the days of Noah, so also shall the coming of the Son of Adam be, for as they were in the days before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood, came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Adam be. It's not going to be welcome in His kingdom. The sin has to go. Sin is what we once had, and it says that we still have it, and we have to get rid of it. Little by little, as we learn to apply His word, dispossess to possess. That's what we learn. To dispossess and possess is to continually grow and be in His likeness and in His image. That's what we learn to be, in His likeness and His image. That's what Adam was from the beginning. That's what Yeshua took on and became, His full likeness and His image. And He's not in a place that's kind of like, sort of like, He's in the place. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He is there. He is the light. And He's going to be the light for all the nations when He comes. And this is what He's going to be doing. This is what He's going to be teaching. But for those who keep rejecting it, staying in darkness, they're going to be destroyed. It plainly says they're going to be destroyed. They entered into the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall be the coming of the Son of Adam be. In 1 Thessalonians 5:1-4, now brothers, as to the times and the seasons, you not need to be written to, for you yourselves know very well that the day of Yehovah comes. We should know. We should know all the appointed times and all the Shabbats, showing up on time, being there when He's speaking to us, telling us what we need to prepare for at this time. That's why we're in Noah right now. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. The set-apart spirit lines it up perfectly and says, this is where we need to be. This is what we need to be learning. Rather, it's over a two period of time, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. This is where we need to be. This is what we're supposed to be learning. And lo and behold, I'm enjoying being at this place at this time. Because if I wasn't, I wouldn't have understood to see it from my outward view and went to see my cousin on perfection. We'll learn about perfection in Bereshit. And then we moved on to Noah, a perfect man. And we talked about all those who are perfect before Him. So we need to go look up all those things and learn those characters, those people who Yehovah said, these are the ones that are perfect before Me. So Yeshua went right on them. Okay, these are the guys I got to study so I can learn to be perfect, so the eldest brother can make it for his youngest brothers to make it. We got to be able to make it by following His example. Yeshua is our example. And that's what we're reading and learning and studying. It says, now brothers, as to the times and seasons, you do not need to be written to. For you yourselves know very well that the day of Yehovah comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You're going to know the times and the days and the seasons. You won't panic. You'll be like Yeshua in the boat. I know this one. Oh, I know that one. That's why it happened in Israel. That's why that happened over here. That's why that happened in Gaza. That's why it happened to these people. Because you're constantly learning and studying, and you're at the right place at the right time. And I'm going to read this last slide and call it an evening. Here Shaul was making it very clear to the believers in Thessalonica that they should not be taken unaware as to the times. For just as Noah was told by Elohim that the flood would come forth after 7 days, so too do we have the clear evidence of Scripture as to the set appointed times of Elohim, and His coming should not come upon us as a thief. Sadly, those who do not keep Shabbat and the feast of Elohim are out of sync. You're out of sync on the times. He told Noah 120, He told Noah, do this pitch. He told Noah, do this and that. And he's telling us to do this today. He says, and the day of Yehovah will certainly overtake them as a thief. Just as Noah, who was a righteous man, so too do we need the guard to do all his commands, for that is righteousness. That's a tzaddik for us. And hold fast to the testimony and witness of Messiah as we minnow. Stay in him and keep his appointed feasts and Shabbats with the sure joy and comfort of knowing that we shall endure and be covered in his righteousness and his loving commitment. Amen. Chesed, right? Oh, I remembered it. Chesed. Chesed. Loving commitment. Loving kindness, loving commitment. And that's all I got for tonight. We'll be moving on to whatever's next. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And you should say, praise Yah. Hallelujah. Praise Yah.